Tucker Harlan coming at me a little bit. Oh, yeah, man.
Neutron bomb just got dropped in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios.
Okay. All right.
Off the top ropes right there.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Wow.
You remember, Rick? Been around here almost as long as I have.
That was quick the thing and, is, quick and
he
efficient.
Did it, the thing is, he didn't mean that as a rip. It just came off that way. Yeah. But
it was 100% accurate.
Well played. Well played, sir. All right, Quentin time on your Thursday. It's 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. I'm Russell Smith. Rick Butler's in studio with us this afternoon from Rocky Top Insider. Marcus Young has the top five at five. Marcus, hit it.
Thank you, Russell. At number one, Tennessee adds to their football staff as they bring in McKenzie Milton, former two-time American Athletic Conference Offensive Player of the Year and top six Heisman Trophy finisher. McKenzie Milton, who shined at quarterback under Josh Heupel at UCF, has joined Tennessee's football staff as an offensive analyst.
He's an analyst? Is that's what they're calling? Okay.
Yeah, that's his role.
Yeah, I mean, that's entry-level type thing and just...
Yeah.
I think you kind of mentioned it earlier with the whole, like, the tree and how everything has grown when people leave. It wouldn't surprise me if he could be being groomed for that quarterback coach type role. And then who knows from there, depending on how well he does in the system.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows that, I mean, wasn't Halsey? He was a quarterback for Heupel too, right?
Yes, he was. Yeah, and they've been together for a long time. I think you can really tell that Josh Heupel values continuity and maybe even loyalty to a degree, but just kind of that continuity feeling within the program, within the system. He hires from within quite a bit.
All these young guys. Yes. And, like, Halsley's not going anywhere for a while, right? No. I mean, he's going to have to – like, if you're projecting him on the goalless track to become, like, a head coach, I mean, first of all, the guy's what, maybe 30 years old?
Young.
Never been a coordinator before. So, I mean, I'd be shocked if he's not here for at least 3 or 4 years, probably longer.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't create a lot of room for a guy like Milton to climb the – but, I mean, the Ablin, the tight ends coach. Like, I wonder if he's not kind of – if Heupel's not looking at him as like, okay, 5 years down the road, if I lose Halsley, this is a guy who's been with me forever that I can trust.
And once again – Alec Ablin, another former player of his, and a guy who's been with him for a long time. So, you just see kind of this continuity, and it's very fascinating to see how Heupel operates in that sense.
At number two, the NBA apparently is discussing a technical free throw penalty for flops and could actually set up a trial for this in the summer league.
They need to.
The NBA is reportedly considering instituting a new rule in an effort to preventing flopping by defenders on drives to the basket. According to The Athletic and Stadium, the NBA competition committee is discussing the possibility of awarding a technical free throw to the opposing team if a player flops. They also noted that the NBA could test this rule in summer league games starting in July.
Is it just me? I have never gotten bent out of shape about flopping. Never.
When it's super apparent, well, it's because you're used to it with soccer. Like, it's
I'm getting it from all sides right now.
You have to admit.
Unbelievable.
The flopping in soccer is intense and insane.
I didn't have a problem with flopping before I got into soccer. I didn't get into soccer until about 10 years ago. Vlade Divac, back when he played with the Lakers, or Vlade Divac.
Vlade Divac, that was me. That was me.
He called him Vlade.
What an idiot.
Vlade Divac.
Vlade Divac,
I forgot to know about that.
The greatest flopper in the history of basketball.
Vlade Divac.
And I loved it, man. Like, it's part of the game. You're selling it. Like, to me, it's worked for us as much as it's worked against us. It's on the officials. I've never had a problem with that. Like, the traveling, I don't like the NBA because they don't call it travel. Like, I get that. Like, that bugged me for the longest time. Still kind of does. But... like the flopping thing, people get so bent out of shape about it, and it has never mattered to me. Do you guys care about it?
Not really. Like the kid, who was the kid from Arkansas last year that I liked so much?
The
Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
He's worked at his craft. He's a it's a skill.
I think it is a skill. But I don't like it myself. I think that it has become a problem. To a degree, and you're right. A lot of it is skill and talent. You got to be strategic with it.
Somebody we love who is incredibly good at it was
Oh, we've had a couple
through the years. Nobody. I mean, the Jedi Master himself, John Fulkerson.
Grant.
Flopperson. Yeah. You know what the Kentucky fans called him? Flopperson.
Yeah.
He could sell it.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's one thing to sell it, though, and then to also, like, I mean, there's some that are just so terrible and obvious, and they don't get looked at. It just...
Hey, man, nobody can flop like LeBron.
True.
Known flopper.
Big time flopper. Oh, yeah. Rodman.
I don't know. I mean, part of it does. Yeah, Rodman could. But, I mean, back in those days, those guys, I mean, they just start swinging. Yeah,
you are actually taking a shoulder to the chest.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember being coached, and I didn't play at any high level, but it's like, if there's contact, that like, fall down, like, sell it. Like, that's from youth league, people are taught how to draw charge.
I mean, I don't even know if the guys were flopping back then. I mean, did people flop back, and those guys flop in the 80s?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think flopping has been around since the dawn of the block charge
call.
That
was just such a different era of basketball. I mean, I sat last night and watched Larry Bird hurl a basketball at somebody's head.
Was that Lambeer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some good times. At number three, the United States in the ice hockey championship, undefeated still, won their eighth straight victory over the Czech Republic and have moved on to the semifinals.
Take that, Czechs. Got you.
The Czech Republic?
Took them down.
I thought they weren't a thing anymore. They were Serbia and Bosnia.
Think you're
Slovakia.
Is the Czech Republic still a thing?
Yes.
Hayden says yes.
Czechoslovakia. Yes.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Czechoslovakia. You're doing still
that,
a country.
You're doing that thing right now that like I would assume that he's correct, but now you're filling me with doubt.
This is an ESPN article. I don't think they're just going to put a.
Is Czechoslovakia still a country?
Maybe it's become the Czech Republic.
Hey, Russ, if it is, you want to go to Czechoslovakia with
me? Not particularly. Is that where Prague is? Is that where intern Drew lived for a while?
Oh, Prague. Dr. Sam Swan.
The United States has set up a semifinal game against Germany. So that's who they will be facing next. Canada will face Latvia. In the other semifinal on Saturday.
We don't have a chance against Canada, do we? They
yes,
really
we
like
do.
Hockey.
Don't
we
you
do?
Dare.
Okay.
Don't you dare disparage us.
Prague is the capital and the largest city in the Czech Republic there.
USA.
Drew says it's an unreal place.
Yeah,
to live.
It looks beautiful.
They say it's amazing there.
Yeah.
Wow.
It also seems like one of those places where you could get drugged and sold into the sex trade and have Liam Neeson come looking for you.
Call me crazy. I don't feel like anybody in this room is going to get kidnapped and sold into like white slavery.
Well, I'm not saying us.
I don't know.
Perhaps
I'm pretty,
our women, our daughters.
Pretty handsome.
But real quick, Rick, hot take.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson, better action hero than Keanu Reeves.
No.
He plays the same character in every single movie.
No, I really like Liam Neeson.
He's
too,
a hack.
The John Wick films have sold me. That's a cream of the crop, and then you go down from there, and you hit The Matrix and
Listen,
some of those other ones that he's done.
I can agree that Keanu Reeves is better. He's not a hack, though. Liam Neeson is not a hack. You're taking it too far.
I would agree.
He's no Daniel Day-Lewis,
take.
My friend.
Taken as a great
No
movie.
One is. No one is a Daniel Day-Lewis.
I will find you. I will kill you.
I have a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a long time. Go ahead, Marcus.
At number four... NBA playoffs continue as Game 5 between the Celtics and the Heat go head-to-head at 8:30 on TNT. They will be playing at TD Garden with Boston as an 8-point favorite.
Huh.
Waiting for Matt to call in to see what he thinks.
Yeah, where's Matt with his
So we're in the TD Garden.
The Garden. Yeah.
Like if it was the old days, in the old Garden, no air conditioning. Get it to about 110 degrees in there tonight. I think I'd like their chances a lot better.
Well, they are playing a team called the Heat.
And finally, at number five, the world's biggest nuclear plant may stay closed due to...
So you're going nuclear.
I am going nuclear.
Okay.
It was either this or Kim Kardashian's statement about Kanye West. So
He's missing the... I'm a nuclear guy myself, but you're going nuclear.
Like
President George W.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
Nuclear, yeah.
Strategiary.
But anyway.
That cracked me up.
It may be, it will stay closed due to papers being left on top of a car. A week after Japanese regulators postponed the restart of the world's largest nuclear power plant due to safety lapses, a careless employee working from home added to the company's woes as he left very important documents on the top of his car before driving off and losing them.
It's only crazy, but yikes. You've already lost a significant portion of your country to a, you know, just an act of God. Basically, the tsunami melted Godzilla? Down that one plant. Gojira. No, Marcus, that wasn't real life.
You ever see that movie, The China Syndrome?
Yeah.
Old, like, 70s movie? Yeah.
That's scary. That's wild. You ever watch The Day After?
No,
but here's the thing about nuclear, man. Like, I hear, like, all these super smart people saying, we need to go nuclear. We need to go. It's the best energy. It's cheap. It's super safe now.
Sure.
And I hear that. But like I said, there's always the one time that it isn't safe. And it's just like.
It's bad news.
And it turns, like, still, and you know I'm a nut about Chernobyl and all that. Just because I was so young, it was so scary. At the time.
Well, we have that. We've had Three Mile Island. We had the place in Japan.
If something does go wrong, nobody can be in that place for like 24,000 years. That outweighs the...
Yeah, like what if we had an entire city on continental America, North America, where like you just couldn't go forever, for eons. It's bizarre.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're talking...
The risk-reward seems very...
All over the place.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to go see Oppenheimer? I don't think, though, like I've heard that there's not going to be a ton of Oak Ridge ties. It's more of the New Mexico, what was happening maybe down there. But I can't
I'm
wait
surprised
for that
nobody's
movie.
Ever made a movie about
Oak Ridge.
The Ridge.
Oak Ridge. You could make several different movies.
This looks really good. I like, who is the guy who plays him?
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah,
Tommy Shelby.
Yeah, he's incredible.
From Peaky.
The Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
They also, from my understanding, brought in people who understood like the actual science behind what was going on to try to make it seem as close to realistic as possible.
I do think it's going to be a boring... I think it's going to be really good. I think parts are going to be very boring. I think that Matt Damon is going to throw me off a little bit just because he's such a big name
I'm banking
actor,
on it not being boring. I'm banking on them keeping things moving, providing enough of the science to where like people who are into that can be like, oh, that's cool.
Get your
fix. But not like focusing it so much where you're just like, oh, come on.
This move is Christopher
on. Show
Nolan,
me a big
right?
explosion.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan did something similar with Interstellar. He brought a guy in... to try to make the math make sense to them going to different planets and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I've seen that.
So, like, he's very well known for, like, trying to make things seem as real.
Yeah, I still don't know what the hell happened in that movie.
Interstellar?
They were trying to find a new planet to live on.
He got that part, Marcus.
Explain it to me, Marcus. That is the top five at five. Thank you, Marcus Young. Folks, we appreciate you tuning in to the show this afternoon. Remind you, if you like what you hear, if you want to hear more of it, if you dig what we do here, please help us out. Patronize our sponsors. Let them know how much you love the show and all things Fan Run Radio. Also, help us out by telling a friend. Help us spread the word so we can continue to grow and create more quality content, do more quality things here on Fan Run Radio. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming live at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run app. We've got a podcast that you can listen to for free anywhere in the known universe. Shout out to all the podcast listeners checking us out here this afternoon. And if you want to jump in, give us a ring, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Did you ask me if I want to go to the Czech Republic, Bear?
Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that'd be a fun trip.
You won't ride with me to Oklahoma City. That's out of the question. But let's hop on a plane and cross the Atlantic Ocean and go to a country where we don't speak the language.
Sure.
We'll be strangers in a strange land.
Yeah.
Let's go do that.
Well, as long as there was like a really cool concert to go to, like in Prague.
Hypocrite Bear strikes again.
Ooh. That one had some teeth to it.
Oh,
that one had some teeth to it.
He did feel like he was waiting.
You want to dance with me today, Red? We've made it almost through the show. I've been actually pretty pleasant to you today, and this is what I'm talking about. And then later on, all I'm going to hear from everybody else when you're not around is, why do you got to be so mean to Marcus? Why you got to be so mean to Marcus? And you come at me, Marcus. You force me to do this. This is not some men you just can't reach. This is the way you want it, Marcus. This is the way you're going to get it.
At some point, Marcus is going to make Bear snap, and you're just going to get the, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts! He's going to fly over the soundboard.
I'll be missing the next day, probably.
Yeah.
Let's get TJ in here. TJ, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
What's up, buddy?
What's up? Doing well. How are you?
Not bad. Last day of school for the kids, taking them fishing in the morning. Summer break is officially underway.
Nice.
Yeah, man, I was working at the house today. My wife and kids are, like, doing a puzzle or something. They're in their pajamas. It's, like, 11:30. I'm like, oh, man, did I pick the wrong profession to get into?
You're not kidding, man. What a life. Hey, you know, my thing you brought up, I think, hour one with this Battery Atlanta thing in Knoxville, if it works, my worry would be, you know, we're seeing a lot today, colleges going away from supporting the middle class fan. You know, middle class fans can't really afford the tickets, or they go to only one game a year because they can't afford everything that goes into it, the hotels or the parking, the concessions, the tickets, et cetera, et cetera. My thing is, if Tennessee sees that this new thing does well, would they turn and now make it a, you have to donate this much money, VIP access are only to these people? That's what I would be worried about.
Well, sure. Sure. I mean, if they can, they'll extract every dime they possibly can from you. I mean, and that's one thing, like, that is not a shot at Danny White or Dondi or anybody else over there. If it doesn't matter if it's Danny White or Philip Fulmer or John Curry or Dave Hart or whoever, Doug Dickey, it's never enough, man. They always have their hands out, always need more money. And, I mean, that's what this is all about, is ultimately driving revenue. Yeah, it's going to be cool for the fans, and it's going to look better, and we're going to be excited about that and all, but it's a business, man. They are trying to create more revenue over there wherever they can, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kentucky does it the same way in football. You sit in the fancy seats, you get your alcohol, but if you're a regular fan, you're too crazy for alcohol. Obviously, we shoot people for toaster strudels or whatever it was. But
Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets, yeah.
Toaster strudels are, that's a pretty damn good eating.
You burn a tongue on a toaster strudel very easily as well.
I tell you what, my daughter loves toaster strudels, and whatever she doesn't eat, I am always there to eat whatever's left.
I don't cook them in the toaster.
Really?
No.
Why?
Because I was looking at the box one night, bored out of my gourd, just standing there in the kitchen, and realized that it had an alternative way of preparing them.
Microwave?
Nope.
Oven?
In the oven.
Yeah,
you can do that. They are superior. Far superior. They're incredible, dare I say.
My kids like to put them in the air fryer.
You can put anything in the air fryer these days. It's amazing.
That's not an air fryer. You know what that really that's a portable table countertop convection oven.
So an air fryer?
No. Mm. That's a misnomer. That's just a marketing gimmick.
Hey, you know, speaking of food, I don't know how you guys, I love a good ham or turkey sandwich with some cheese. But, you know, you're making your sandwich. I had one today. You're putting your ham on there and your cheese. And then you go to the fridge and you get your, I don't know what you guys like on your sandwich, but you get your mustard or your ketchup and you're in a hurry. And your kid says, Dad, while you're trying to pour the mustard out or whatever. And you forget to shake the bottle and you turn it upside down. And what do you know? You don't get mustard. You get everything that floats to the top, and it's mustard water, you know?
Oh, gross.
And it's annoying. It's so annoying. You you just sit there and look at it and like, man, now my sandwich is a mess. That's what Phil's calls remind me of, is mustard water. See ya.
Wow. Did not see that coming.
It was a little long-winded to get there, but...
That was perfect. That was a bomb.
I'll be honest. I was responding to a DM on Twitter. I missed it.
He,
went full bear.
He just shanked Phil in the back, in the kidney, repeatedly on his way out the door.
Well, rather than make you guys repeat it for all the listeners who were paying attention, I'll just get you guys to enlighten me here during this break. Is that okay?
Sure.
865, thank you, Marcus. 546-8200. No!
I was going to respond.
No! We're going to tell you now.
At least I responded to you. Everyone else just sat here and just like, because
He wasn't expecting a response. I figured we were just getting ready to go to the
I appreciate a response. 546-8200. It's a big football recruiting weekend for Josh Heupel and the Vols. We'll talk about that when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. An alert listener who got to tour Neyland Stadium this week sent me pictures from the locker room where they're preparing to bring in, they're having a big recruiting weekend where they bring in all the guys and cook out and all that stuff. And they had the locker room set up with six jerseys in it of prominent Vols, prominent Tennessee players who, well-known, made it in the NFL. So these are the six players that they chose to showcase. These, I guess they figure like these are the biggest names in Tennessee football history or recent history that recruits will know and will be a good selling point. So they'll see these jerseys and say, man, this guy went here. If I come here, I could be in this pantheon of great players.
Who are they?
Who do you think they are? You can name a couple of them for sure.
I'm going to go with Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
Witten.
Nope.
Alvin Kamara.
Nope.
Hold on, Rick.
Oh, I thought it was a tag team.
Well, I guess we can. T in there?
Nope.
Huh.
You got one.
Peyton.
The Minister of Defense.
Reggie White.
Reggie White.
Number 92 is up there.
Gerard Mayo.
Nope.
Eric Berry.
Yes. Ooh. You got three.
Cordero.
Nope. Give you a hint. One of them is very recent.
Hendon Hooker.
No. First rounder.
Darnell.
Darnell.
Darnell Wright is one.
Really?
Okay.
The other two I don't think you're going to get. The other two are Heath Shuler, number 21, and Derek Barnett.
I get Derek Barnett. Heath Shuler. I mean, they're pro uniform?
This is a fun little offshoot of now, the back on. Of the Jumbotron debate,
it
isn't
is.
It?
If we're talking about
this, it's the white jerseys. It's the white UT jerseys.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's several people that I would have before Shuler.
If you're trying to sell to a bunch of 17-year-old recruits,
yeah,
and you're trying to sell them to come to UT, you'd probably have Kamara up there, right?
I would think so.
I'd have Kamara.
Like, do they? You'd have to explain to them who Heath Shuler was.
Yeah,
probably.
Unfortunate.
And no disrespect. It's just the age of his kids.
I get having Darnell up there is like, look, he just went.
Yeah.
Like I think that's a pretty savvy move. That's Derek Barnett was our last first rounder before Darnell.
Reggie
White and Manning are iconic.
Right.
I feel like if you're going to get into this, what you need to do is you need to have all of them.
Well, these are just the six I see. Maybe there are. You just sent me this picture. I showed it to you. So
how many have we had since what? What are we calling the modern era now? From 1980 on. We're going 90.
I like how quickly you came up with that. I don't know. A lot of people say the modern era began in like the 60s when they started throwing around and our African-American brothers were allowed to participate.
Yeah.
So it's a big recruiting weekend. There's a lot of buzz that running back Peyton Lewis, four-star from Salem, Virginia, right, is on the verge of committing to Tennessee publicly.
Number 197 in the class.
Is the big-time linebacker from Georgia going to be in this weekend?
Sammy Brown?
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw
what do you
a blurb.
Make of him?
What do I make of him?
Would you like to have him?
A five-star number one linebacker in the country? Yeah, I would like to have him, Bear.
So I can tell you Sammy Brown has a has an official visit set for the weekend of May 26th, so he will be here this weekend.
Ooh.
And that was as of that was reported by Steve Wiltfong just about 20 days ago. So this trip has been planned for a little while.
Who leads for him right now? You have any idea, Rick?
I think it's like Georgia and Clemson are thought to be the main two, but Tennessee's in there swinging.
Yeah, I think Russell's right.
He was swinging that pin. What? Freely on that check. Oh. Adding zero.
Well,
dollar bill.
Real quick on Peyton Lewis, the running back that you just mentioned. On Three Sports put out a graphic this earlier today just of about five recruits that are all tied to Tennessee. Peyton Lewis does, according to On Three Sports recruiting prediction machine, does have a 94% chance for Tennessee. So it looks like that is certainly a guy that they have a lot of maybe hope for.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we talk about running back recruiting a lot, and a lot of people are wondering, where are the five stars for a team that runs for so many yards? And this guy's a solid four-star back. It sounds like Tennessee beat out South Carolina for him. And I don't think he's the only back they want. They're swinging hard for the fences for a couple of other high Braylon Russell is a high four-star out of Arkansas. There's a young man in Meridian, Mississippi, who's a great player. And so you get this guy in the boat, and then you can just swing for the fences and try and find that elusive, just, you know, superstar prospect to bring in here. And if you don't get him, you've still got what? You're only losing Jabari Small off this year's team. So Jalen Wright, Dylan Sampson, Seldon.
Seldon
Bishop
is the fascinating
Khalifa
one
Keith, and now Lewis. So you got six guys there scheduled to be here next year. They probably won't all because it's the transfer portal age. But you're in a lot better position than you remember last summer when it's like you're desperately trying to bring. It was that guy from Clemson in and
Lynn J. Dixon.
Yeah, and it didn't work
out.
He had
a cup of coffee here and then was out.
We were very fortunate to get through the year without any major injuries at the running back position.
Yeah, even though it was banged up, you could really tell that three-headed monster was a valuable tool for Tennessee.
I think they'll
offense.
Always have five or six guys at that position going forward.
And I think they're always want to rotate a good three-ish just because it's so important.
The Peyton Lewis was a guy, Barry, you and I don't know if you remember, we talked about him because there was a – I don't know how true it was, but there was a conversation online about how he has already kind of been leaning towards Tennessee.
Yeah.
And a former Tennessee running back who's a coach at South Carolina.
Oh, this kid.
Montario Hardesty kind of, I think, let it be known that, like, oh, he's planning on going to Tennessee and was kind of irked about it.
Sure.
Released that info before Lewis was ready.
I'll hold that against Montario. He's got a job to do.
It's all part of the game, man.
He's getting paid six figures, get big money by South Carolina to recruit for them, not us. Don't bother me at all.
This kid's, I mean, like, he's highly rated out of his state, out of Virginia. I mean, this is kind of that stepping stone, what you've talked about, Russell, like you mentioned even earlier. It's just trying to find that elusive top-end running back. I think this is the kind of guy you want to get to start heading that direction.
Marcus, really high on Peyton Lewis.
Evidently.
I am.
He's a Peyton Lewis fan.
You found the one. You know how every once in a while we'll stumble across something that
rouses
maybe Marcus.
Maybe we're burying the lead here, but his name is Peyton.
And, you know, we had a
Have we had a Peyton since Manning?
No, we haven't.
That's weird because there's so
one.
Many Peytons now.
Wow.
I'll do you one better.
Wow.
First name Peyton, last name Lewis. We had a really good running back.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. How about that?
It's mighty big, big
about
cleats
that?
To.
Okay.
He's going to be a star, guys. He's got a good size to him.
I just wanted on record some of Marcus's reasons for liking some players are absolutely every bit as weird.
You have no. Yours are worse. You like.
They may be.
No.
Uh-oh.
They,
this
they
is,
may
I just want to point out real quickly. I'm going to let this happen. I just want to point out this is the lamest debate in the history of this radio show, and that's really saying something. No, go ahead,
no,
please continue.
No, we'll just move along.
Whose reasons for irrationally loving a football player are more bizarre, Marcus Young's or Bears?
Marcus, for sure.
Absolutely Bear.
He obsesses on him, and he absolutely refuses. Mine's just a genuine, affectionate,
here's an example.
He's winning, Marcus. No, he's winning right now.
And hope that they'll do good.
It's hard to fight Marcus. I can't get a word in.
Well, you got to grow a set. The problem with Marcus is that he'll find something that he latches onto, and then he will never come off of it. AJ Brown, Will Levis, that whole deal.
Oh, man. You just talked yourself out of it. Now Marcus is ahead.
No.
I just want to point out. He's not ahead.
Yes.
I just want to point out.
He's a punk
out.
And a clown.
I can't even remember who it was, but... You know, I think he's my favorite player because his girlfriend helped me when I was in the hospital one time. Oh,
that is his.
I've never met him before.
That was part of it.
I've never met him before, but his girlfriend was really nice. He's my favorite player.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't say he's my favorite player. Oh, he's rooting for the kid.
Some sort of person. It's everything. Here's all you have to understand about Bear on this show. Not for just for this debate, but for everything. For everything that he ever says or does on the show. This is all you have to realize about Bear. And once you realize this, it all makes sense. With Bear, everything is personal. Everything. I mean, 100%.
It's never business.
Everything is personal. There's no such thing as business. There's no such thing as logic.
It's always personal. It's,
do I know you? Did you go to my high school? Did I happen to pass you in a crowded diner one time? That's all it takes for he likes you. Now, if he doesn't know you, if he has no personal tie, there is no level of insult, of vitriol, of just complete. Utter meanness that he will not throw at you.
Sure.
It's all personal. That's all you have to understand.
I do have some breaking news. I realize that.
Yes.
Your high school Division II private school state champions are clad in green and gold. Wow. Congrats go out to the Knoxville Catholic.
They brought home the...
High school baseball trophy.
Okay. Did you see? I meant to. They have a player who's committed to UT. Did you see his walk off yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, how awesome was that?
Caleb Moore's got it going over there.
Find me this guy's name.
Is it Ian?
I don't think so. He's committed to Tennessee. This kid from Catholic hit a walk-off home run in the state semis.
Wow. It's a big moment.
He launches it, walk-off, and then he has, like, the most awesome – he pulled a Jordan Beck from last year where he struts, and then he spikes the bat.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Throws it. Oh, it's a great moment.
The flip is good, but the spike also has a place.
It was so much better than the flip.
It has a place.
He just threw it down. That's what this
grab
team.
Grab it by the barrel. And
that's
bang.
What this team needs.
Yeah,
is some of that swagger that we've been missing.
And apparently, I didn't know Catholic. The girls' tennis team is number one in the nation.
Shout out!
They've got the best tennis team in the country.
What are we doing?
Russ brought it up.
It's become a. This went from a Bear Marcus debate to a pure Bear vanity segment. Daniel Paris is his name. Right-handed pitcher, shortstop. Go find the video of that online if you want to see the walk-off / bat spike.
Okay.
Great moment.
Wow. Not bad.
I still haven't really deduced what exactly it is that sets off a Marcus player love affair. There's no mystery with Bear. Like, I could see it coming. It's like, oh, man, Bear's going to love this dude. Like,
Will Keaton Marcus, was a pick-to-click of mine from day one.
It just comes out of nowhere for Marcus.
I don't think it's that out of nowhere. I mean, A.J. Brown was the best wide receiver Tennessee Titans have ever had, and they traded him away.
Yeah, that's not an original take. You're glomming on to the Peyton Lewis bandwagon. You're the only one on it, as far as I know. It's very interesting.
Well, I do my research, and when I find out that there are certain prospects potentially going to Tennessee, I try to find out if how I feel about him.
It's good.
You're so full of crap. Just That's tell good. Him what is it.
I
tell me about it. You don't do any research.
When I get home, that's not nice.
Hey, look, Marcus. You lie to your friends. I'll lie to mine. Let's not lie to each other, man. Okay.
When I get home,
the bear just proudly displaying his ignorance before the entire audience. I don't do any research, and I'll fight anybody who says otherwise. I have no credibility.
I will lie to the audience, but not in here.
We'll lie to you.
No, I just talk to my, I talk to my sources when I get home from the show.
Sources? I ain't got no damn sources.
I got three laptops that have every sources? Single,
What the hell? Sources a group text.
It's so mean.
They kind of remind me of each other. Do you ever get that sense? They're both so stubborn.
They're very similar.
Well, come in here stirring crap up. I'll turn on you in a second there.
Very similar.
Butler.
You get the full picture from over here.
A lot of similar.
I got to give you a full picture.
Personality traits.
Fred.
Look how they both hate that take.
Marcus is just a softer, gentler bear.
I think
is what it
is. I can see that.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't hop fences. Like I know what I hate or love, and I don't like bob and weave.
If Marcus shaved his head and he did the whole mouth mullet goatee thing,
I think
he'd just look like a younger bear.
I'm just talking about like you love to just hop back and forth to figure out which advantage point you
it's
have.
It's called triangulation. Hello, Marcus.
If I'm wrong,
William Jefferson Clinton ran this country for 8 years based solely on that political principle, triangulation.
Yeah,
you call it triangulation
to try and make it sound smarter than what it actually is. The rest of us absolutely know it as being completely full of crap. Triangulation.
I mean, are you aware of what it is we do here? I'm not going to get painted into a corner.
Don't drag me into this.
I'm not even talking to you at this point. And you, for you to come back.
No.
And it just starts stirring the pot.
No.
I'd forgotten about that. No. That little quirk, character.
I don't like to get in the arguments, but I will point out something that I see in each.
You're like the guy walking past the two guys in the bar that may or may not get into a fight. Rick's walking by whistling, and when he can't be seen, he gives one of the guys a nudge. That pushes him into the other
guy.
That's not Rick Butler.
I like having Rick Butler in here because, unlike you two,
thank you,
and like me, Rick is, keep in mind, my protege. He actually does his research. I trained him well. He has stuff he wants to talk about.
He doesn't misspeak as much as you do.
And
you've had some doozies this week, by the way.
Rick has a couple of segments, or he has one segment, a couple of stories prepared that he would like to share with us, and I would like to give him the time to do that when we continue. Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio, wrapping up on a Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Wow. The month of May rapidly running out on us. Thank you to Rick Butler for hanging out with us. Check his workout online at RockyTopInsider.com. They'll have all the latest on the big recruiting weekend coming up. Of course, Tennessee baseball next week and football season 100 days away from home kickoff, 93 days from the kickoff against Virginia in Nashville.
Excitement is here. You got a summer to get through, but then it's just going to be right around the corner.
All right, we wanted to get back. We used to do a segment with Rick called the Rick Roll. We need to find our production element for that. So we're going to hold Rick's stories that I mentioned before the break. We will get to those next week when Rick makes his triumphant return to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. In lieu of Rick's segment, we're going to talk to these dumbass callers.
Yeah.
Maybe they hadn't talked to Rick in a long time on the radio, Russ. Damn.
No, I'm just saying. I kid. I love our callers.
We are getting the people involved.
Especially.
You're mean to the callers sometimes.
I just want to say, I said that the callers remind me of certain things, and you're like, well, being mean to our callers, are you?
Yours is real. Like you have some real thing against him. I'm just
taking a cheap
talking
shot
crap.
For giggles.
Yeah. Brad in La Follette will be our next dumbass caller. What's up, Brad?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Brad, what's up? See, it's a term of endearment. He doesn't hold it against me.
He'll take a shot. That's what he'll take shots at me, and you called him a dumbass, just like Marcus has been mad at me for something you said all week. Go ahead. Brad, welcome into the drive. We're glad to have you, buddy.
I'll wear that badge proudly. Hey, real quick, Bear was getting on Marcus about weird things like players about. This Bear's made it clear multiple times. The only reason he likes Camden Sewell is because he's got some weird nervous tick on the mound.
No, it was because
My victory bow.
It was whatever it was. He's from Cleveland. He's from the Chattanooga area, right? And he had the thing where he hated Florida.
Right.
Where he grew up a Florida fan.
He grew up a Florida fan.
He pulled the sheets off of his bed the day he committed to Tennessee.
That went a long way.
It just resonated.
He does bear an uncanny resemblance to 70s pitchers when I was a kid and first fell in love with watching baseball on TV. He looks like a throwback kind of pitcher. And the cherry on top was he's got a lot of very odd mannerisms and tics and stuff he does when he's pitching that I find entertaining to watch. Watch him next time. You know, if you watched him, Brad, like
I watch him every time he pitches.
Dude, every pitch, he tucks in his jersey, he smooths everything down, he makes sure everything's perfect, and then it's wild, man.
Yeah, that's a completely normal reason to like somebody for. Go ahead, Brad.
Oh, man. So the Altar Boys are bringing a championship back to the Butch Bowl, huh? Do we have a name for the baseball stadium?
The Butch Bowl. It's in the shadows of the Butch Bowl.
You're just itching for it today.
What do they call the baseball stadium down there?
It's like Butch's, like I said, Camden Yards. It's Butch's Yards. We need to workshop
Yeah,
that.
We'll workshop it.
Guys, I got to tell you, yesterday I went down the old podcast rabbit hole, and I started listening to some Shiano Sunday. Guys, it seems like that was a decade ago, but it was really not. And man, we're over here now. Could you believe that we're here arguing about 9 or 10 win seasons?
Well, yeah,
possibly going to the college football playoff. I mean, it's absolutely unreal.
I mean, it just goes to show that we were right. And I know the people say, well, Jeremy Pruitt wasn't good either. Yeah, but if they had hired Shiano, he would have been better than Pruitt. And he would have been able to hold on to his job. And the apathy would have been immediate because people were never going to support him. And he would have won just enough to keep his job a little bit longer. Than Jeremy Pruitt. He wouldn't have gotten the NCAA investigation. And maybe you say that's a good thing, but I say we wouldn't have had Josh Heupel as our coach, and we wouldn't be back because you'd have some other incompetent moron hiring Shiano's eventual replacement. So I'm glad that happened and that we suffered through 3 years of gump ball because we're back now. Like you said, it only took 5 years, but I think if you go back and you told people, look, you know, 5 years, you're going to be back winning the Orange Bowl, going 11-2, ranked highly. I think most Tennessee fans would have taken that.
All right, guys, I'm going to go off here. Bear, quit picking on Marcus.
Mike says,
I'm picking on Marcus.
The Catholic.
I'm going to call and say mean things to you if you don't quit being mean to Marcus.
The Catholic Bear. Baseball stadium should be referred to as Dooley's Dugout.
Dooley's Dugout. Go to hell, all of you.
Oh!
Yeah, you heard me. I don't care.
I appreciate Brad's assist, though, and me winning that argument.
I get Brad's assist. I appreciate needing help to win an argument.
What are you doing right now?
Thank you, Brad.
How old are
you?
This has gotten derailed.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. You're flopping around in the gutter right now.
I am not. And I don't care.
You're not. You're handling this very maturely. Roberto is up next. What's up, Roberto?
Dumbass checking in. I heard the word dumbass, so I thought it was my turn to call.
You're in like company, then.
Thank you. Fabulous Rick Butler in the house.
Cheers.
What do you say, buddy? I'll never forget the look on Rick Butler's face when I'm driving down the strip, what formerly known as the strip. It's not really that anymore, is it, gentlemen?
Yeah.
And I scream, "Fabulous Rick Butler," out the window, and he turns with the greatest look of delight on any man's face I think I've ever seen this side of his wedding night, if you know what I mean. that was...
Yeah, that,
I'll never forget that so long as I live.
That was a good moment, and then we've gotten to link up at baseball games and whatnot, just walking around the concourse a couple times too. So those are always fun times.
Just here to say that Rick Butler is every bit the nice guy that he comes off on the radio.
You hear that? You hear that? Cheers.
Yeah, it's a real story. Real story. Guys, talking baseball. We're gonna end up in the Terre Haute bracket, and if you saw that today, if that's true, I would be all in on that. We'll be the de facto at one seed in that, because that would make us essentially the 17th overall seed, and I feel very confident that we can go on the road to Terre Haute, Indiana, and beat Indiana State.
I ain't scared of Indiana State, UC Irvine. A little scared of Wright State.
The only one I'm scared of is Wright State. They seem to always be in there with us.
Yeah.
Selfishly, I hope we end up in the Coastal Carolina regional, because I'll be there this coming weekend.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Or, I guess, week and a half. I would definitely go to that. As far as the arguments on the show today, I will back Bear on one thing. You said Daniel Day-Lewis is excellent, and he is. I was actually just watching the Last of the Mohicans the other night. Spoiler alert, he's not the Last of the Mohicans. But
I rewatched that a week or two ago as well. It really holds up.
So great. Is that the best movie soundtrack of all time?
Oh, so good. Score? Yeah, I mean, it's right up there. Oh. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh my God. Guys, I'll leave you with this. And I'm not, you know, one to take my own advice, but, in the Bible it says, it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Take care, guys.
I thought that was
that's why I tell Marcus sometimes better book. Not say anything at all, Marcus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's me.
Yeah. Feeling your oats today. Look at me, Marcus.
I'm going to get stadiums put on that list. New stadiums will be put on that list.
You will not.
Several people brought that up.
Oh, crap all over. There was some guys that loved the list. Had really good comments about that. The problem with you is it you're you
great way to start
the sanctity of that list.
I do not.
You do.
I do not.
You do.
Oh, Lord. The sanctity of the list
you
I hate.
You damn Skippy Smith.
First of all, we've looked at the list. I did not bring up as many things in the year I've been here. Second, everyone on Twitter tries to get me in trouble by sending me ideas. I filter them out. I filter out. Most of my notifications are about putting things
trouble.
On the list.
This isn't elementary school. No, he's not the principal.
No, because they love it when he yells at me like this. They enjoy this. So like all of a sudden, I'll get a new notification saying, hey, put this on the list. Because Bear half mentioned it in a like that's what they do. I filter it out, Bear. I save you.
Yeah, you don't save me for nothing.
You hate road trips and you hate new stadiums.
You're
it's okay.
Two-faced. You're so two-faced.
Those
with
are
me.
Direct
it's not
quotes.
Even funny. Sad, man.
He did mention though.
I'm done with you after last week. You turned right back around and stabbed me in the middle of my back this week, dude.
How many shows have we ended this week with Bear just melting down on Marcus? I feel like this is at least the second time, maybe the third time it's happened.
I've still not gotten over the treachery.
What? I don't understand.
You admitted
it.
You admitted it, dude.
Admitted what?
You're treacherous, Marcus.
30 minutes after he left on Friday, you admitted what you do.
I asked
you act
what
different.
You're
he
about.
Makes you all anxious, and you start being mean and saying,
"No, that's
just
not
saying
what I
mean
said."
Fantastic, dude.
I said,
"Marconi stuff right there."
Out. I get
we're
anxious.
We're on our way out the door. You've been stirring this up, Russell. You've been stirring this up. Having you in today with us, Rick.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah,
good to be anywhere.
It started off so promisingly.
You guys wanted to mix
thank
it
you,
up.
Thank you, Rick. So it's great seeing you. RockyTopInsider.com.
RockyTopInsider.com.
Go check him out. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, Marcus. Bear, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you, Russ.
We'll do it again, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio.